Moncrief on News Talk.
Artificial intelligence doesn't just pop into the world fully formed either. It is through the use of language models, but those models aren't created by programmers. In many instances, work from flesh and blood authors is pirated. Aoife Barry is one such person. Good afternoon, Aoife.
Afternoon, John.
So tell us about this this kind of repository. Makes it sound like a posh term, but like this data set that's got all the stolen work on it.
Yeah, so I was on Blue Sky about a week ago and saw the broadcaster Ricochet talking about this article on The Atlantic that had this searchable database on it, where it said that there was over 7.5 million books and 81 million research papers on this particular database. And the data set was called Library Genesis, or LibGen, which is what most people call it. And basically the claim in the Atlantic article was that you could use its own kind of search tool to check if your book was actually available on LibGen. So I had a look on the Atlantic search database, and my book did pop up, but I wasn't too sure if it was correct or not, because being a journalist, you always kind of want to go to the primary source and not just a secondary source. So I sought out the LibGen website and I did a search in it, and I couldn't find it at first. And then when I posted about it on Blue Sky, somebody responded to me and said, actually, there's another search on the site that you can check. So I checked there and the book was available there, as is. I mean, name any Irish author, like from the last, you know, at least 10 years, and you'll find their books, or multiple copies of their books on LibGen. So it emerged, according to the Atlantic and several court papers that you can find online, that it's being alleged that LibGen has been used by Meta, which of course owns Facebook and WhatsApp and Instagram, to train what's called Llama 3, which is its large language model. So it's basically kind of like a rival to ChatGPT, which is created by OpenAI. They're slightly different, but it's essentially a similar thing, where these systems are trained on a lot of information. So you feed them with loads and loads of information, and that then they can generate text, or in some cases images, based on a prompt which somebody writes into the system. That's the real basic description of them. So the claim is, according to this legal case that's going on in the US, that Meta was allegedly using our books, or at least some of the books on LibGen, to train Llama 3. Now, it's obviously denying the claims, but there's a lot of very interesting detail, including conversations between its staff members in those legal filing documents. So you can read it and have a look at what both parties are saying.
And in ostensibly, what is LibGen for?
For accessing for free copyrighted copyrighted information, books, science papers as well. I think it's a Russian company, it seems like. I think it originally might have been set up to share research and science, particularly papers, because they are very expensive. They can be expensive to access, like you have to pay to access them, just like you have to pay to buy a book unless you go to the library. So set up so people can access this information, but obviously this is copyrighted information, like this, it's pirate thing, essentially.
Yeah, so even it being, no matter what use it's being used to, all these books being on LibGen is breach of copyright.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like, we live in a time now where I kind of felt it was almost inevitable that, like, my book could potentially end up on one of these things. Not because it's a world famous book, like Social Capital is an Irish nonfiction book, ironically, about the tech world and social media. And there's a heavy irony there. But I mean, it feels like any book that's out there can end up potentially being pirated, because let's not forget that, like, you can buy my book on on an ebook format, so it's easy enough for people who know what to do to take an ebook and then to kind of pass it along however they want to. So unfortunately, we live in a world where that's inevitable. But what's doubling, it's kind of a triple thing, where one, your book could be taken; two, your book could be put in a database for potentially millions of people, potentially to read your book for free after you put in loads of work and blood, sweat and tears into it. And then the fact that it's now being alleged it could have been used to train, a big tech company's you know, AI product because, you know, because it was because it would be free for them to do that and would be faster for them to do that than to perhaps, you know, get contracts to work with other people. That just adds kind of insult to injury. So it's been very upsetting for a lot of authors. I've spoken to people or had contacts from people who've said their entire backlist, you know, which is all the books they've written essentially, is available on there. And, you know, it's it feels like a very troubling time for a lot of people.
And is there anything you can do about it?
Well, not really. I mean, you know, there's some court, there's a court case going, obviously, in the US. And I think that's a class action suit. So from what I was reading, technically, if you're an author and your book is on there, you're part of that class action suit. But I mean, if you're living in Ireland, I don't know legally how that works. We don't have, obviously, class action suits over here. They do in the US. You know, you can email LibGen and ask them to take your book off. That's not really going to get you very far. Nobody knows who runs the site, for example. You know, the genie's out of the bottle. Pandora's box has been opened. Like, the work has been done. I mean, there is advice being given by various writers' guilds and unions, you know, to people. You know, they're saying that you can do things like send a formal notice to Meta and other AI companies saying they don't have the right to use your books, that you should like join a guild or join a writers' union, that you can put something like no AI training on the copyright page of your work, for example, as well, too. You can, they're saying you can update your websites, what they're called, the robots.txt file to block AI bots. I couldn't really explain that. I don't really know a huge amount about that, but that's on the Authors Guild website anyway. So like, they're also saying stuff like, oh, you can distinguish your work, you know, they have ways of certifying your work and things like that. But it's very much all kind of a little bit preventative by saying, don't use my book to train it on AI. But like, will that actually work?
Yeah. You know? And are there any kind of legal versions of this happening?
Well, interestingly enough, some publishers are doing, I mean, not exactly what we're talking about here, but what they're doing is they are striking up agreements between companies and authors legally for the authors to give their permission. So like asking the authors for permission to use their work in training by an AI, like in an AI dataset training. For example, HarperCollins is one particular company that is doing that for some nonfiction works. And with those particular situations, you know, the publisher gets paid, the author gets paid, there are guardrails around it. So it's not just like a free for all. And there's kind of a, you know, a contract drawn up that guarantees certain things for the authors. And some authors are, you know, doing that because, I mean, for one, if you're publishing a nonfiction book and place like Ireland, you're not going to be making a huge amount of money. And two, at least you're getting paid for something and you know the details and you know the guardrails around it and you have the sign off from your publisher and you have full control. It's something that I chose not to do myself, but I can understand why people do that, at least in the big bad world of AI, if you're given the opportunity to get paid for your work being used to be kind of used as training, then at least you know that that's happening and that there are guardrails around that too.
I would imagine though, this, you know, there might be a long term knock-on effect here where the, you know, the small amount of money people get paid for publishing books would be even further reduced because, you know, it's going to be whipped 5 seconds after it's published.
It's going to be really interesting to see like the long term effect, because, you know, you're thinking also about how generative AI could be used across the publishing industry. Like I wrote a column in the Sunday Times every Sunday in Culture magazine, and my most recent column was about this. And I spoke to a publishing insider who shall remain unnamed. And, you know, they said that like they would fear that, you know, Gen AI could come for other jobs. You know, you're thinking about things like copy editing, editing work, even, you know, illustration. We've already seen plenty of examples of people, you know, in different situations, you know, making, you know, event posters or, you know, different images using AI. So there's a lot of jobs that potentially could be at risk if we continue down the road of the power being in the hands of the tech companies and not in the hands of creators. And if essentially if art and artistic creative work isn't valued, you know, that's the problem that the, you know, I keep thinking of the company Google and how their phrase back when they started was move fast and break things. And that's been the big tech attitude from the start, was move fast, get things done, be pioneers, be these quote unquote tech geniuses. But what's the price being paid for that? Like, we're seeing as creators our work being taken and there's no discussion with us and no sense of like, actually, maybe it's wrong to do that. That if we're moving fast with tech all the time, like a price is going to be paid. You know, obviously the EU is discussing AI, there's certain kind of regulations in place. Globally, the governments are talking about it, but it really feels like the attitude has been so bad towards creators from the beginning that there's very little, you know, we can do about a lot of what's happening right now.
Yeah, and I suppose publishers, one could argue perhaps it's up to publishers to pursue these people in the courts or try and block it. But, you know, they don't have much money either.
Well, they have a lot more money than the average author like me. They certainly do. If you're talking about big publishing companies, they have millions and millions and billions of dollars. And like, you know, they do have power to go for, to go and take cases against companies. That said, the publishing industry is obviously in many ways is thriving, but in other ways is feeling the pinch of the current, cost of living crisis. So, you know, I suppose they're probably watching what they're spending money on. But authors, should feel like they could be protected by their publishers. I mean, the sense that you're kind of out there and you don't know what could happen to your work and you don't know if you can do anything about it is quite dispiriting. But everybody's trying to figure out how to deal with this. I mean, during the week, you probably saw the story broke about Miyazaki, the incredibly famous Japanese, illustrator, animator from Studio Ghibli, that now on OpenAI, ChatGPT's latest version, thanks to OpenAI, you can make your own little version of Studio Ghibli, undoing the decades of work that this like iconic animator has actually, done and put on screen. So things are moving way too quickly, I think, for a lot of people and in a very depressing direction.
Yeah. Aoife, thanks a million for talking with us today. Aoife Barry is a journalist and the author of Social Capital, which is a book. You can go and buy them in a thing called a bookshop.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.